Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive. It's full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even divided asunder, soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and even the intents of the heart. And so, God, you will help us by teaching us and leading us and guiding us, bringing us into all truth, causing us to understand, to comprehend what your word says, so that we may use it for every part of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, that Jesus is the light. And you have made us in Jesus the light of the world. And so, God, we thank you for what will happen as we are illuminated and are illuminating those around us. God, I ask for revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding coming forth from these lips of clay into the hearts of the people, and that they will never, ever, ever be the same because of the word that they hear today. I decree it, I call it done. In Jesus' name, I call it done. And everybody said, amen. Hold your Bibles up and let's make a confession. Come on, I want everybody to stand. If you can stand, you need to stand. I mean, if you can stand, give honor to God now, okay? Just let's not play no games with God. If you can stand, now if you're physically not able to stand, I understand that. But if you are able to stand, get off your rump. I ain't playing. Now get mad and go home. But I'm telling you, if you can't listen to me, I don't know how you're going to listen to God. That spirit of Dr. Price coming over on me right now. Okay? I'm trying to tell you, because we have to learn how to be obedient. There ain't no sense in you coming up in here listening to me, because I'm going to tell you stuff to do. And if you don't want to be told nothing, you wasted your time. And I'm so sorry, but we don't give refunds. Okay? So I'm just from where y'all at. I'm from where y'all came from. I'm from the hood, too. So I just talk like the hood. And white folks like it, and black folks do, too. So I just talk real. And I know it's too raw, but you should hear my son. Okay? This is my Bible. I am what the Word of God says that I am. I have what the Word of God says that I have. I can do what the Word of God says that I can do. I am a hearer of the Word of God on purpose. And because I am a hearer of the Word of God and a doer, my life is blessed. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Give somebody a high five before you're seated. Say, you are about to change. Tell them you are about to change. Praise God. Last week, we continued talking about birds. And it's been interesting that we talked about all kinds of different birds. We talked about angry birds. We talked about sick birds. We talked about eagles. We talked about pigeons. In fact, we showed some. I'm not going to show any today. We don't even talk about dodo birds and cuckoos. Anybody ever had a cuckoo clock? A little bird comes out, cuckoo. I don't know what that's all about. Pigeons, buzzards, vultures, sparrows. Birds of a feather, not a scripture, but it's true. They flock together. Different people will flock different places together, different ways of doing things. Winners run with winners. Losers run with losers. Angry people usually try to find somebody to be angry with. Mad folk find mad people. Crazy folk hang with crazy people. Homeless people lived in a commune. Rich folk hang with rich people. Broke folk complain to each other. It's just birds. It's just birds flocking together. They can't help it. But what we have to do is we have to realize God ain't make no pigeons out of his people. You are not, turn to somebody, don't get hit now, and just tell them, you are not a pigeon. And while we're talking, God's not even partial just with birds. You are not a grasshopper. And did you read that in Numbers 13? Okay. You're not a grasshopper. God's people are not grasshoppers. Now, I wrote a book a while ago, and I'm not pushing no books because I don't even care nothing about if they sell or not. I just know that people need them. I wrote this book, Take Control of Your Thoughts. It's all over the world. It's in various languages. I don't even know who's publishing some of these books because I sure ain't getting the money. Okay. But it's in all kinds of languages. I'm going to get the money because I'll get my attorneys on. No, I'm just kidding. But I don't know who's all publishing this book, but it's all over the place. My publisher, Buddy Harrison, who started Harrison House, where Dr. Price and Kenneth Copeland, many of those great men of God, that Jerry Savelle, many of them, started in the ministry years ago under Word of Faith teachings, worked with Buddy Harrison, who was out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we were visiting Bush number one and Congress in Washington, D.C., and went there with Pastor Godot. By the way, Pastor Godot is going to be here coming up in end of September. We're looking at bringing Dr. Godot here. He called me up and said, why ain't you got me a date? Anyhow, and of course, we have Jesse Duplantis that will be here June 11th, glory to God, on that Wednesday night. So we're enjoying the ministry of others. But we were in Washington, D.C., and we were at dinner right before we went to meet at the White House. And the Lord had told me, because I had written a book called Casting Down Imaginations, told me that Harrison House needed to publish that book. And Harrison House, at the time, was a very, very large distributor of Christian books, especially charismatic books, books by those that believe in the Holy Spirit. And so Buddy Harrison happened to be there that night. Kathy, you remember that? And he was sitting there across a ways from us, and I ain't gonna lie, I was scared. And while this man was there, the Lord said, go talk to him and tell him he needs to pick your book up. I said, man, that's Buddy Harrison. What are you talking about? That man, you know, he's been working with everybody. I mean, it costs a lot of money for him to do that. Tell him to pick the book up and publish it and pay for it. I said, what? So I finished my salary. I said, Kathy, I'm going. She said, what? I said, I'm going to go. I went over there. I said, you don't know me, but my name is Don Shorter. And I'd like for you to pick up I got a book. And he said, fine. I said, I think you should publish it and market it all over the world. He said, do you know how much that costs? I said, no. He said, about $250,000 to really, truly market your book where it needs to go. I said, okay. Because God had talked to me. Well, he went back to his office, sent me a letter, and said, I believe we need to carry that book, and we need to put you on the new release program, and we need to put your book all over the world. We got letters from everywhere, from the Congo. We got it from Zimbabwe. We got letters from England. We got letters from... Then they came back to me later after I'd written a couple more, and they said, we want to take Casting Down Imaginations and make it into a pocketbook. A book where people can put it in their pocket and take a flight and pull it out while they're flying, or a book that they can be able to easily read, and it's very convenient for ladies to put in their purse. So we want you to take the principles out of Casting Down Imaginations and change the name and call it Take Control of Your Thoughts. Now, I don't have many of these because we negotiated a different contract with this, where they really do most of everything with this. And so I said, fine, you go ahead and do what you want to do with that. And they said, well, just help us with what you want to put in it from the other book, and we'll make sure we get it out there. This book has blessed so many people all over the world because it deals with what we need to deal with, how to control your thoughts. Your thoughts come through your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, your imagination and your intellect. But really, it's mind, will, and emotion more than anything, but your imagination and intellect is tied to that too. And we have to be able to take control of our thoughts. Now, I'm not here to push a book, but this would be a good book to help you. And it has a five-step process on how to become a winner in Christ. God gave me 5 steps to be able to do on a regular daily basis as you're receiving things, because we're receiving so much. And when I wrote this book, we were receiving a lot of stuff, but we didn't have texts then. We didn't even barely had emails. We barely had websites. We barely had, we didn't have a lot of stuff. We're communicating. We didn't have iPads. We didn't have all that stuff. When I first wrote this book, it's been reprinted again and again and again. What I'm trying to tell you is that being emotionally messed up is part of the sickness that people deal with. Being emotionally, a lot of times they say mentally. I hate to say that because people feel funny when you talk about mental stuff. But I suffered through some situations for 6.5 years. Many of you know my story. I've told it many times. And I will continue to tell it because it's just like Lazarus being raised from the dead. In fact, one of the things that I dealt with, I looked it up. And I'm just going to use this real quickly. I looked up one of the things that I dealt with when I went into this sickness, because that's what I'm going to teach about today is healing. But we're going to start with emotional healing, okay? Because there's a lot of people that you may think they're just mean, but they're dealing with emotional issues. And they need help. And we can't just throw everybody to the side and say, what's wrong with you? I'm sick of you. You know, blah, 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 blah. We need to not do that. People need help. And a lot of times the reason why we kick people to the side is because we don't know how to deal with them. Okay, so it's important for us to be able to deal with these people around us. One of the things that I dealt with was called diverticulosis. And it's bleeding. I believe the woman with the issue of blood had diverticulosis. For 12 years, she was sick and she was bleeding. And because she's a woman, people think that she was bleeding in a different way, but I was bleeding from my bottom. And profusely, blood was coming out of me for no reason whatsoever that I knew of. And that was just one of the things I dealt with, along with my liver dying on me, and my family prayed, and they will testify, they prayed, and within 30 minutes, the jaundice, my eyes were no longer yellow. My urine was no longer looking like coffee. Within 30 minutes of them praying at the hospital, at the second hospital that I ended up at. I'm only telling you this because you need to know that whatever healing you need, God wants to heal you, body, soul, and spirit. So diverticulosis, I said, yeah, could I have died of that? Yeah, here's what it says. It says, according to a Center for Disease Control Mortality database, 68% of diverticulosis deaths over 18 years of old age were women versus 32% for men. So women die of bleeding to death, not through a cycle, there's a monthly cycle, but from diverticulosis. It's a terrible thing. And so I thank God because I could have died. We called the ambulance and I was bleeding all over the place and it stained my carpet. It messed up, a lot of stuff in our house before they could get me on the stretcher and take me to the hospital and perform procedures on me. That was one of the things. That wasn't down in Vancouver where I had 2 surgeries and they gave me this crazy medicine and my liver was dying and all this other stuff. This was a year later. The devil tried to kill me all kinds of ways. And the Lord said, because you have gone through this, but not just because you've gone through this, but because you do understand what it means to be sick, both emotionally, spiritually, and physically, or all three, physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. Because see, things in the physical and in the emotions can affect you spiritually to where you can't serve God like you want to. You don't feel like much. And so diverticulosis is very, very serious. Yellowing of the skin or eyes, tender in the upper abdomen, I had that. Changes in mental state. See, and this is what we got to deal with. Your gut is tied to your brain. When you start having gut problems, you're going to start having thought problems. You got to get this. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, I'm not a medical doctor, but I've been through more than most of them even have treated. The devil tried to kill me with everything, anything, everything. So it changes the mental state, the personality, and the behavior. How many saw my personality change? I wasn't the same guy I am now. I have always been a gregarious kind of person. I've always been, hey, what's happening, y'all? You know, but I was like, who are you? I don't like you. You know, they looked at me funny. I was just like that. Well, it wasn't necessarily up here. It was in here. And it was coming out of me. So vomiting blood, I didn't have that. Lightheadedness, I did have that. This is liver failure here. It can be fatal without a liver transplant. Now, all of these things were, I experienced early. Diverticulosis, I did experience that later. Do we have diverticulosis? Did I send that up to, yeah, here we go. Women were more likely than men to have more severe diverticulosis disease as noted by a secondary cause of death. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Do not say that God put that sickness on you to have you learn something. He don't need to put sickness on you to learn something. He wants you to go pray and shut your mouth and let him talk for a while. And what I do is when God, if God's going to talk to me, he got nerve enough to talk to me because whatever he says, he can't lie. I write it down, I date it, and I time it. I say, I got that. And you'll hear my wife and I say that between each other. She'll go, and she'll start writing something. I said, what'd you get? What'd you get? Because God's consistently talking to us. You don't have to suffer for God to get glory. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it to the religious folks watching this, and you're sitting here, and you're critical of healing. Because to have the healing actually operate, we have to have the anointing, and the anointing will cost you. You can't sit around and watch pornography all night and have the anointing the next morning, Pastor. Can't do it. The Holy Spirit is not cheap. Forget Pastor, but 60% of the pastors are dealing with pornography in America. So you count out 10 pastors, 6 of them out of those 10 are dealing with pornography. You can't have the anointing, and that's why the church is a weak. And then they want to criticize the ones that are bold. I asked God for holy boldness. I didn't know what I was asking for. Y'all probably wish I never did. But I asked God for holy boldness when I was sitting there dealing with all this stuff. Diverticulosis. Liver dying. Said that I had pancreatitis. I thought I had I had a big old lump in my chest. The devil said it was cancer. Liar. Turned out to be a cyst that went away by itself when I started speaking to it. And I'll tell you what I said. Now, we're talking about healing. We're going to be dealing with healing for 3 sessions at least. Healing has to work by you initiating it. It's already been given. You are not sick trying to get well. You are well, and the enemy is trying to make you sick. Y'all get that? We act like it's strange to be well. You're supposed to be well. The enemy's trying to do something to you, but without him, you're just fine. You're not sick. You are not sick trying to get well. You are not sick trying to get well. I'll tell you who's sick, the enemy. He's the only one that's sick. He's trying to make you sick. God can't give you sickness. Let me tell you that too. God can't give you sickness. In order to give you something, I got to have it first. God ain't got no sickness. Now, sometimes we read in the Bible the permissive will of God versus the causative will of God. Especially when you read the Hebrew, you got to get the tense on that thing. You can't just read stuff and just blah, 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 blah. You got to find out what the real root of what it's saying. When it says, and God sent sickness upon the Egyptians. I got the scripture. It's not saying God sent it. Don't you know sickness is already here? Ain't nobody got to send the flu. The flu is somewhere around here. Probably on one of y'all. Might even be the bird flu. If you're a, pigeon, how did the bird get flu? And then make the price of our eggs go up. I'm sick of that. Somebody got to get some Theraflu to these birds. Doggone it. We got to get these birds healed. I'm sick of paying $10 for some stupid eggs just because the birds got flu. And how do we know they got flu? They might be just doing that just to get more money out of your eggs. So we don't know. I mean, have you asked a bird if it's had flu before? Anyhow, with all this stuff going on, I can't go over all that. Let's go to the scriptures because I want to make sure you understand it. Let's go first to Hezekiah because Hezekiah started this whole thing, okay? Let's go to Hezekiah in 2 Kings chapter 20 now. Boy, I'm so glad I got some time to teach here, but I ain't got that much, but I got some. All right, now, what was that again? Oh, you want me to talk about the chess thing? Okay, they didn't understand that? Okay. She's the director, so she's directing me. Okay. All right. Okay. What happened is that when I was attacked by the enemy, I was laying in my bed. I'll just tell you a short story on that. And the anointing that I had, what was represented by a coin, I sent that coin around, and it flipped off of me. In replacement of that anointing at that time, because God had me suffer this stuff as a, like I was an unbeliever, there came a lump in my chest, in the middle of my chest. And that lump grew from very small, the size of a pea, you know, a green pea. Then it grew to the size of a grape. Then it grew to the size of a small plum. Then the size of a small peach, and it almost got to the size of an orange. I refused to go to the doctor because they had done me so wrong. No, I didn't want to go to the doctor. Really, to be honest with you, I didn't want to hear what he had to say because I didn't want to build no faith for that. And so back in October and November of the last year when I received my deliverance, my Hezekiah miracles on all these other areas, I began to speak to that thing, and I spoke to it, and here's what I said. I said, I call you disappeared, dissolve, and you die at the root, in case it was connected to something else. I kept saying that. I get up in the morning, taking a shower, and this big old lump, I mean, it's a big old lump now. Big old lump in my chest. I said, I call you disappear, dissolve, and you die at the root in Jesus' name. I'd say it again and again and again and again and again and again and again. I probably said about 3 months. And the thing would get bigger and bigger and bigger. I said, I told you, disappear, dissolve. Sometimes I yell that loud in the shower. Dissolve and die at the root. Why? Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That thing, one day, when the deliverance started coming to me, the Hezekiah miracle started manifesting in my life, that thing started draining. Stinky, stinky pus. It stink. It smelled like death. And I said, that must be cancer. I must be. But then I went and read, and Google knows a lot of stuff, too. I went and Googled it, and it said that cancer growths like that do not drain. Okay? So I said, it ain't cancer. I don't believe it is. But then again, who knows? Maybe it is. Maybe they got a some special thing for me. I don't know. But anyhow, so I would lay on my side in the bed, and I'd wake up, and my whole shirt, my T-shirt was just soaked from this stink. And I was embarrassed. I'd get away from my wife and go to the bathroom, clean myself up, and it was just, it stank. It was like death. It was awful. And I kept speaking to it, and it kept draining. Kept speaking to it. Pretty soon it started going down. And then it started going down more. And then it's like going down more and going down. And I'm speaking to it. I call you disappear, dissolve, die at the root. Die at the root. Die at the root. Die at the root. Whatever is the root cause of this, I call it. I don't care what it's called. There's a name above every name, and that name is Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over this lump. You gone. You leave. And then I started saying, I call you disappeared. I call you dissolve. I call you dead at the root. In other words, past tense. Because put up 1 Peter 2:24. The Spirit of the Lord told me he's going to just throw scriptures at me at times. So don't put them all down because you can't write them all down because you don't know what I'm going to do. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says, come on now. You, who himself bore our sins on his own body on the tree. Do we have any argument about that? Did Jesus take your sins on the tree? Yes. I said, did Jesus take your sins on the tree? There's no argument, right? So we know Jesus did that, right? Watch this, keep reading. That we, say me, you're part of the we, having died to sins. Are you dead to sin or are you still trying to practice sin? Yes. We need a Hammond B3 up in here. Are you dead to sin or are you still living a sinful life? You're still trying to drag around a corpse? Living that old nasty life? You should die to it. It should be dead to you. You shouldn't live this any longer. Stop dragging around. See, I had a funeral for J.J. Jackson. I had a funeral for him. My past in secular radio and television, I had a funeral. I don't want to be J.J. Jackson no more. And by the way, God never called me J.J. Jackson all the time I was using that name. He'd say, Don, what's wrong with you? Some of you don't even understand that, but I'm trying to help you to get a hold of it. In fact, you are bought with a price. You are God's. The devil has no right, we're talking about healing, has no right to put sickness on you. You are God's, we sang it, God's property. GP. Which for me stands for grandpa. All my grandkids know that. So I'm GP to them. When they sing the song, they're singing about grandpa. GP, are you with me? Yeah. We have a church. We ain't going nowhere. We have church all the time because I play the song. Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. Who was that? Who was that?
Jesus.
Say it loud.
Jesus.
Say it louder than that.
Jesus.
Come on, say it loud.
Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ that we, having died to sins, because when you come to Jesus, you dead. The old you died. And some of you think you still yourself and you keep apologizing to God and praying and asking for forgiveness. That stuff is over. God, he cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. He ain't thinking about what you're thinking about. He's thinking about what he has for you to do, not what you did. And see, the enemy is good for bringing up your past. You got to be good at bringing up his future. He is going to live forever in the lake of fire. And you need to remind him of that. He'll leave you alone. He'll leave you alone because it torments him. Now, he wants to torment you with your past. You know you ain't nothing. You know you ain't really a Christian. You know you can't really live like that. I mean, you lying. You know you are. You last week. You know you had a fussing mess. Oh, shut up. You know you're going to the lake of fire forever. You will burn Satan forever. He was the bright and morning star. But Jesus replaced him when he was kicked out of heaven. Jesus is now that bright and morning star. And that's why there's only one star. Because if you're a star and you come up into heaven, we ain't going to see you. Because there's too much brightness from Jesus Christ. So you might as well dim it now and just give the glory to God. Because Jesus is the only star around here. I don't care if you're in entertainment. Hallelujah. You in Christian music? Praise the Lord. You a preacher? Ha! I don't care what you are. You're a doctor, you're an attorney, you're whatever you are, whatever your title is, you are not a star when you get to Jesus. J.J. Jackson can't be no star. He wasn't one anyhow. Struggling to keep life going. Praise God that God delivered. Having died to sin. Have you died to sin?
Yes.
Turn to somebody and tell them, I died to sin. Come on, turn to somebody else and say, I died to sin. Having died to sin, might live for righteousness. You live for righteousness. Now, you cannot earn righteousness. Righteousness comes because of the blood of Jesus. So thank God we have the blood of Jesus that cleansed us and made us in right standing with God. So you cannot make yourself righteous. Now, you can make yourself self-righteous. All of a sudden, I'm all this in a bag of chips. Look at me. Don't you know who I am? Yeah, that's what bugs us. Because of who you are. Ain't nobody impressed. And I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm not trying to be negative, but we are riding so many high horses that ain't going nowhere on the high horse. I'm talking about me. I was all that. Yeah, don't you know who I am? Nobody give a rip. But don't you know what my name is? Don't you know who I was with last night? Don't you know where I was at? Don't you know what stage I was on last night? Don't you know who I talked to today on the phone? Nobody gives a rip. When you die, ain't gonna mean nothing. You got to get to that gate. I saw that emerald gate. It didn't open for me because God said, wasn't your time yet. I'm just showing you what you're going to see. But here's the thing about for pastors. I'll put this up. Y'all get to just go on in, but the pastors got to stand there and say, now, what did you do with those sheep? What about brother so-and-so? Well, Lord, now, what about sister so-and-so? So you think I'm going to be messing you over? You ain't keeping me out of heaven. I'll treat you nice. I don't care what you do. You may talk about me like a dog. You may act crazy with my son, who is a pastor also. You may treat my wife, who is a prophetess. You may come to her and say she's lying. She's just eating. Yeah. And that's why God says in his word, do not bring an accusation against an overseer, an elder in the church without two or three witnesses, meaning you were there. Oh, did you hear that just now? I heard that there was an accident right there on 112th Street. Did you hear it? Oh, I got to go to court and tell them what happened. You can't go to court. You didn't see it. You are not a witness. Unless your rump was there and you saw what happened, get your mouth off the preacher. Get your mouth off the preacher. You're going to mess yourself up. Because the same anointing that heals is the same one that will attack your butt. Yes, Miriam, Moses' sister, she talked about him because he married an Ethiopian woman. He's Jewish. God didn't have no problem with that as long as she was believing the same thing that he was believing. So God don't care nothing about who you marry as long as they're Christian or they believe what you believe. And Miriam talked about Moses like a dog. God said, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this. Put leprosy. Well, then put. There we go with that permissive. Just leprosy is already here. Did you know there's still leprosy?
Yeah.
A lot of leprosy just come all over the woman. She, in the Jewish law, she had to be put out of the camp. She couldn't be with the regular folk because leprosy is very, very contagious. I'll say AIDS. Remember that? Very contagious. Oh, how about COVID? She had to be put out because of running her mouth against the man of God. You better shut your mouth. I never talked about my pastors. I've had many pastors. I have never talked about my pastor. And I never talked about tithing. I've always tithed ever since I was 17, 18 years old. As soon as I learned about it, them deacons came to me at that Baptist church and said, boy, one thing you don't do. You don't talk about the pastor. And you pay your tithe. He ain't tell me why. Just said, that's what you do here. Now get on up there and just do what you got to do. I said, yes, sir. I sure will. Been doing it ever since, and it just blessed my life. I can't tell you how. I don't try to dissect it. Some things you need to just shut up and do it if you want healing. But see, we so used to living phony lives. We're playing all stupid games. We're always looking for another plot twist. And God's telling off on you already anyhow. Ain't no plot twist with God. God knows everything. By whose stripes you were healed. You, what does it say there? Put it in the New King James. Well, that's the New King James. Put it in King James. By whose stripes you what?
Were.
You what?
Were.
You what?
Were.
Now, I heard somebody say are. If you are, then you is. If you is, then you were. Whenever we talk about being healed in the kingdom of God, we have to talk past tense because Jesus had already done it. He's not going back on the cross for your flu. Or your phlebitis. Or your diverticulosis. Or your cancer. Let's get real. Let's get hard. Let's get down to the real stuff. Or your brain disease. Or your flesh-eating abnormality. I don't care what it is. God is a healer. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Meaning, if you want to know the difference between the gods, I'm the one that heals. The rest of them don't do nothing. So if you don't get healed under God, something's wrong. Now, ultimately, we all get healed because we all go to heaven and get a new glorified body. So God wins either way. I remember I'm not going to call out who it was, but there was a woman that passed away at this church. She loved God. She was like this little, that's how she come in church. And she sit down, she just pray. Some of her kids are in here. That lady got cancer. And I was the pastor, young pastor, first couple years in ministry. Didn't know nothing but read the Bible and pray and hear from God. And she died. And I went to God and said, now, what in the world is going on? We didn't pray. He said, you don't know what she was going through. I said, so why did you take her? He said, I did not take her. God is not a taker. He said, I received her. He said, you don't know what she was going through. I said, sorry, sir. I won't question you again. He's done that to me several times. I ask him, what happened with this one? Come on, Lord. What happened? And I get some answers. Some of them I won't ever tell you. Because things happen. It says, by whose stripes? And I like to make it a question. By whose stripes were you healed? By whose stripes were you healed? My alarm did not go off. I am 9 minutes and 58 seconds over time. I know you did it, Walter, didn't you? You turned off my alarm. Okay, let me just wrap this up. I want to ask the question, whose stripes were you healed by? Are there any things that Jesus did not heal? Now, I'm going to say this, I'm going to quit because we're going to talk about healing again next week. I want this to be the most well church in the Pacific Northwest.
Mentally, physically, that means you got to get the treadmill going again. Okay? Leave them donuts alone. Okay? Just talking. And also spiritually. But whose stripes were you healed by? So let's say it together. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus is the one who sacrificed for us. He did it once, the Bible says, for all. There's no need for no more sacrifice. So by you suffering and being sick, you need to know where that comes from. I got one last scripture I'm going to throw to you, and that's Acts 10:38. Please look at this, because it takes the anointing to get you delivered. Some of you avoid the anointing. I had a service last week that some of you pushed the anointing back to me. I try to get you to receive it. Some of you, I just said, just receive. But you were like, you know, it's sort of like going to the doctor and they're trying to put the, you know, the needle to you. And you're going, they tell you, relax. Well, it's the same thing with the anointing. People are like, no, just receive. And some folks are like, well, because I saw by the Spirit of God, I was able to see or sense that there were demonic forces in some of you. Not that you're demon possessed, but the enemy he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, so he's going to be somewhere. And so when I'm trying to come against the enemy, not you, but the enemy, I'm trying to teach you how to receive. You ought to say, yes, in Jesus' name, I come against the enemy also. Instead of that, you're like, nah, I'm hanging on to this devil. For some of you, it was like I'm fighting you to get rid of the devil from you. Who's plaguing you? You have to learn how to receive by the anointing. This church, the body of Christ in general, has to mature to a spiritual level. Not just an educational level. Not just a cataclysmic, where you go through catechism and, you know, you just do your little rote thing and then you get your little badges and you get your sash, you get your hat, you get your gloves, and now you get to stand in front of the people. We gotta get past that. This is a personal relationship. And your personal relationship don't happen here. Happens at your house. And some of you, your biggest enemy is either sleep or sleep. You go to sleep too early or you sleep too long. God needs a quiet house to talk to you. When the phone is not ringing, people ain't even collecting garbage yet. You need a quiet house. And when God try to nudge you a little bit, because he watches you while you sleep. I don't know if you know it. The Lord be watching over you. And he see you getting up. Oh, like when you had that little baby. Remember you put that little baby in the crib? Oh, they're waking up. Look at the baby. Oh, well, look at the cute. Look at him with the lips. Everything was cute. That's how God does you. He's sitting there watching you. Oh, she's getting up. She's getting up. Get the angels down there. Look at that. That's my little boy. That's my boy right there. That's how God is with you. He loves you so much. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, had his own son, his only begotten son, come from heaven for you. He anointed him then because Jesus couldn't do it without the anointing, and neither can I and neither can you. There's some things that only come off of people or only change because of the anointing. You might not be getting that job because you need some help from the Holy Spirit. And maybe God's got some things to talk to you about, but you're too sleepy in the morning. Or you're too sleepy at night. You should use your best time for God. Oh, write that down, please. Write that down. I will use my best time for God. Bring my microphone up stronger. I'm almost done. You should use your best time for God. If it's mornings, you're a morning person, get up a little earlier, spend some time with God. And don't bring a Santa Claus list with you. Just go there. If I were you, I'd just go there and just sit there and say, God, I'm here. Preacher said I should get up and pray. So what you got to say? And shut up. It may take an uncomfortable 15 minutes before God says, I love you. I want to direct you. The thing that you want to do today, Charles, you know what I'm talking about. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He gets up in the morning and God just tells him. He fixes just about everything in this building by way of the Holy Spirit. Heaters, lights. I mean, he fixes up. And he's not really a maintenance man, but he's 80-something years old. He just walks around, let God talk to him and tell him what to do. You're a blessing, Charles. And Anna's just in the background praying, saying, "Go on. Okay, Charles, go on. You can go to the church now." How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. That power is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and with power. The Holy Spirit has the power, but the anointing is that power. I want to say it that way. It's not that the Holy Spirit is not power, but there's the anointing has to be used. Who went about doing what? Doing what? And healing how many? Healing all who were oppressed by the Diablo, devil, for God was with him, and God is with you. So what's missing? What's missing is the Holy Spirit power and perhaps the anointing. You get those, all three, and you're qualified just like Jesus. Jesus created us to be his examples or his agents. Last thing I'm going to say to you, but he came to me in the process of all this healing, and he said, because I had this ugly look at people all the time, and I wouldn't take any phone calls from all the preachers that were calling me trying to find out what was going on, because I didn't know what was going on, so I didn't want to talk to them. Didn't want to come around you, because I didn't want to embarrass God, because I looked like a nut, and I acted like a nut, because there was stuff going on with my body. And so I didn't want to be around you. I didn't want to be a distraction. And so I told the Lord, just, I'm not going to do it. And part of the time, I couldn't get here because I was dealing with sickness. But anyhow, it's important for you to realize that God is the one that's brought you to this place where you are for a reason. And it's not just to be able to live with sickness and disease. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. I went to a nursing home one time out in Puyallup, visit somebody. I walked in there, and all these people are just at the nursing home, falling over their wheelchairs. I said, oh, gosh, we got to have a healing service here. These people need healing. God said, they're not sick. They're old. You can't heal them from being old, but God can strengthen. Even if they're not sick, they can receive strength. Say amen to that. Say, God, you are with me, and because you are with me, I can live in health, even in my mind, with my thoughts. Stand up, everybody. Put your hands on your head right now. We're going to ask God to help you with your thoughts, to clear you up. No longer will you be like those folks in Thurston County, where they're declaring an emergency in this entire county because of sickness called loneliness. God does not want you to be lonely. He wants you to live with him, first of all, and then he'll put you around people that'll keep you going. And that's why, you know, like we're doing all this construction stuff like that. Don't stand around. Just look at it. If you're single or you even married, you got some time you can be able to spend. Help. Call the church. Can I come over there and do something? Put your hands on your head. Say, God, right now, I commit my thoughts to you, and I ask you to bring them to pass. God, clear my mind up. Give me control of my thoughts. I take control of my emotions. No longer will the enemy submit anything to me, and I will run with it. From here on out, my thoughts will be regulated by the power of the living God, the Holy Spirit, and the anointing. God, release your anointing upon my body. Now, put your hand on your gut. Say, God, Somehow, my gut is tied to my brain. Help me. Help me to be able to regulate my thoughts, my operation in every area. Help me, God, to have clear thoughts. I speak to my digestive system and I call it healed in Jesus' name. I curse anything that the enemy is trying right now to put upon me. Even if I have no symptoms, I curse it in Jesus' name. And I call my body healed now, now. I call my mind sound. Thank you, Lord. You have not given me the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God some praise in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah. You're going to get sharp right at work. You watch, you watch. They're going to be saying, how in the world you thinking these thoughts? You're going to get sharper everywhere. They all going to be saying, now, what kind of brain food are you taking? You talk. You got. Tell them it's HS. It's a new chemical called HS. Holy Spirit. And runs by a thing called anointing, okay? Well, you're going to have to come to church to find out the rest of the stuff. I ain't telling you nothing else. So give God some glory. Come on, let's give him praise in Jesus' name. I said give him praise in the name of Jesus. Give him praise in Jesus' name. Give him praise. Now, we're going to start using a new song that God has given to me for our altar calls, because Billy Graham used George Beverly Shea to be able to minister, and many people came to the altar, and millions of people were saved while George Beverly Shea would sing and Billy Graham would finish up his preaching. There's an anointing that needs to be there to help people to understand, to come forward. And God has identified this song that we're going to play during our altar call. You need to learn it. We're getting the words to these songs as quickly as we can. I'm only selecting songs. I don't care how old they are. I don't care. Some of the people that sang these songs, maybe they're not even Christians anymore. I don't care. At the time, the anointing was there. I don't give a rip, okay? All I'm doing is, by the Spirit of God being directed to these various songs, I like studio quality sound. That's why you see me getting up all freaky acting sometimes up here with the sound people. Yeah, yeah, because it's not right. I want it right. I'm a perfectionist when it comes to sound, okay? Because that's what I grew up in. So I go nuts when they, you know, when things, I can hear stuff other people can't hear. They're like, it's fine. I'm saying, you're nuts, man. This is off. I can hear people singing off key and everything else. So, you know, I don't say nothing a lot of times. But, you know, I didn't mean that one. Yes, I did. Okay. All right. So I want to just play a little bit of this, and then we're going to re-rack it or back it up. And then we're going to open it off altar call. But I just want you to get the flavor of this. This is a man that was a pastor, and I keep finding songs from him that are so anointed. It's just amazing. His name is Morris Chapman. I understand he was the worship leader for Dr. Price for a short period of time. Anyhow, if you go ahead, he actually was a pastor. Clap your hands. Let's thank God in Jesus' name. Just put your hands up and just raise your hands and just receive the anointing now. This is part of healing. This is part of healing.
In your presence, I am content. In your presence, there is light, expressions of your life, revelations of your mind. In your presence, I can breathe the love song of the ring. I'm in the presence.
In the presence of the King. I'm content.
In your presence.
Are you content in His presence?
In the presence of life. Impressions of your mind. Revelation of your power.
Revelation knowledge is coming to you. We're in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Keep it going. Just worship the Lord. Just receive this. This is like medicine. That's what that lady said about stomp. It's like medicine. You don't know what you need, but God does. What's on the wall? God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works in us. He is able. He is able. He's more than able.
He can handle anything.
He can handle it. He can handle it.
He is able. Lord, he is able. To do much more than I can.
He wants to make you something for him.
He is able.
Sing it to the Lord. He's able.
He is able. He's more than able.
Jesus. Why don't you ask him to make him, make you what he wants you to be. Make me, God, what you want me to be.
Make me what you want me to be. Make me what you want me to be.
Lord, make we give God praise in Jesus' name.